I can watch butterflies at work in the garden, or catch them and see their dead bodies. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bartley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I can watch butterflies at work in the garden, or catch them and see their dead bodies. What kind of life do we live? Do we live a life whereby we are interested in the dynamics and the activity that goes on all around us? Are we interested in all of the exciting things that take place every day in our life? Are we interested in all of the action and reaction and in the live attitudes that are taking place everywhere? Or do we like to study them after they've happened? It's like being a critic, being a reviewer, someone who reviews something after it's happened. Do we like to participate in life and be the action and be the joy and be the excitement and be the story? Or do we want to write the story after it's over? That's what catching dead butterflies are and seeing their dead bodies. You don't have the excitement and the thrill of what actually went on. You have no idea what really took place. You think that it's very exciting, the author of the writing, the reviewer, or the maker of the critique, or the person who writes the book, or anybody at all. They have fascinating stories to tell. And they put their own imagination into it, they put their own excitement into it, but it's not like the real thing. The real thing is where you and I are doing whatever it is we're doing and getting the imagination out of it ourselves. Just look at a butterfly. I walk along my meditation path, and as I walk the path up through the mountain trails, butterflies flit out here and there. And sometimes I'll see a shadow. I see the shadow of the butterfly, and then I don't even look over to where it's coming from. I know it's coming from there, and I wonder now, where is it going to be? In front of me, or in back of me, or on the side, or is it going to do? What's it going to do? Well, Rex is jumping merrily along, bouncing so happily as a 7-month-old puppy does, and he is a big puppy, like a horse, really, and he's just having a great time. And the butterfly sort of comes up to his nose and looks at him and goes on, and he doesn't even notice it. He doesn't even notice the butterfly because he's got his eyes looking for rabbits, looking for squirrels, looking for all sorts of creatures that run along the ground. He loves lizards, and he misses the butterflies. Well, maybe I miss the lizards. Maybe I miss the squirrels and the rabbits, although I do see the squirrels and the rabbits quite easily. But do we want to watch them after they've died? Button has Rex has a penchant for barking at a particular lizard. And this lizard loves to be on the porch, above the covering for the porch. And he stands there and he looks at Rex and he just smiles at him. Well, the other day I reached into a little pond that feeds the pond, and there was a lizard. And I thought, oh my, a dead lizard. And I reached down and picked him up, and he sort of shook himself a little bit and wandered off. He was just sort of in the pond and couldn't get out. And I came along in time to move him out. Now, I didn't have a dead lizard to study, but I sure enough had a live one to see. And he was very happy. And the other day also, I was walking along, and you know what a horny toad is? A horny toad is like a toad, but it's all full of horns all over it. It's a desert toad. It's used to living in the very arid area. And when you walk along the path, because it's decomposed gravel, you cannot tell sometimes whether there's a lizard there or a horny toad. And one morning, as Rex was running along, a horny toad jumped out right in front of him. And he looked down at the horny toad and he says, I haven't seen you before. You're a very interesting fellow. And he talked to the horny toad for a few minutes. The horny toad looked back at him and said, you're a big monster. Are you going to get after me? And Rex smiled at him and says, I'm a lover. I'm a lover. And the horny toad smiled back and said, I like that kind of guy. And he ambled off, not in a hurry, as they oftentimes are, but just sort of a happy walk, knowing that all was right in his world and all was in divine order. Now, what you are doing, you are listening to me tell these little tales of my morning walk and the creatures that I greet, and you're not seeing the butterflies as I see them. You're seeing the dead bodies, the ones that I have spoken about. And they're not really dead, but you're hearing about these creatures that I've spoken about. You're hearing about the butterfly that came across my path as but a mere shadow. And you cannot have the feeling of startledness that I had. I looked at the shadow thinking I was seeing a butterfly, but it was only the shadow. And then a few moments later, the shadow came into the real butterfly as he was in the bright sunlight with all his colors glowing and glistening in the morning sun. You see, do we want to live life secondhand? Or do we want to live life straight away? You say, why do people climb mountains? Why do people sort of swim oceans? Why do people do all these interesting things that are certainly not necessary? I read an interesting article on sports the other day. It was in the Quest magazine from the Theosophical Society. It was very well done. And it told about sports being a game. Man had originally been quite vicious. And his way of handling things was to be rough and tumble and to take his club and batter animals to bring them down so he could have food and just be a pretty rough guy. Well, then he saw a gazelle, and that's an animal that runs quite fast. And so he thought, I am going to catch that gazelle. Well, now a gazelle, you know, is very, very fast. And day after day, this one African tribesman was chasing this gazelle and never catching it. But he persisted, and he persisted, and he got stronger lungs and stronger legs and stronger calling after his desire to catch that gazelle. Well, now, needless to say, he never caught the gazelle. He may have caught it while it was startled and surprised and grazing in the field, but he didn't catch it in the run. But he taught himself the wonderful feeling that it is to exercise yourself and be the gazelle, to run as the gazelle, to chase after the gazelle. And pretty soon he wasn't chasing after the gazelle. What he was doing was running with the gazelle. He was showing his talent to run beautifully and strongly and well. And then the different type of activities came up. People started playing games, as they always have played games as children do, and these games became part of their tag and their running and their jumping and doing all things to show their prowess of their physical body. And later they developed other games showing the prowess of their mental body. But these are all just things that come into our life. Now, that's sort of reinventing the wheel, going back to the original concepts of these people doing all these things. But we're living in today. What sort of things are you doing? Do you wish that you had written a book? Well, write it. Write it paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter. Write it. Do you wish that you had written the beautiful poetry that you see other great poets have written? You too can write it. You have within you all the magic, all the genius that they have. But you see, here is the part where we sometimes forget. To be a good writer means you practice. You practice. You chase that gazelle until you're no longer chasing the gazelle. You're running with the gazelle. You chase language, you chase grammar, you chase ideas, you chase beautiful thoughts, and you keep chasing them by writing them down and polishing how you say them until they come out like magic, like beauty, like something so glorious that no one has ever heard the idea, yes, but not the way you said it, not the way you, as a great artisan, say it, who has practiced to run with the gazelle, not after it. We don't need to run after the talent of writing poetry. We can learn how to do it, but it's only through practice, through letting our hearts sing out through our words, that it becomes something glorious and everlasting. Only as we take a paintbrush in our hands, or not even a paintbrush, we just take some our finger paint, and we think, I'm just going to play here, and I'm just going to mess up this piece of paper here, and I'm going to have fun, and have fun, and have fun. And pretty soon, you do something more than having fun. You have directed fun, which is accomplishing your inner thought on the outer object of the finger painting on the paint, on the paper, the writing on the paper, the poetry, the writing down of the musical compositions of the beautiful symphonies that come to your mind. Oh, true, you're not going to start out with a symphony, but you'll start out with a melody. And the melody grows into a quartet. The melody grows into an ordinary group of musical symbols that become so glorious that ultimately you're not chasing after the symphony. You're running with the symphony and being the symphony of your own heart. And pretty soon the gazelle will look over at you and say, wow, aren't you great? And pretty soon the great symphony that others have written will look over at yours and say, wow, aren't you great? Pretty soon the writers of other great books will look over at your works and say, a masterpiece. A masterpiece by a genius. My peer, my equal. I can watch butterflies at work in the garden or catch them and see the dead bodies. I can watch the gazelle run. I can run after the gazelle, and I can run with the gazelle. To see the gazelle's dead body, that might only mean food for me. But to see the gazelle's live body is the excitement and the magic of being me. Today, decide what direction you want to go. Are you going to run after the gazelle or with the gazelle? Are you going to let the inner wisdom, the inner music of you come out and be in your writing and be in your thinking? Be in your singing, be in your whatever you do? Or are you going to be the music? Be one as the instrument, as the musicians like to say. They are not beholding the instrument, they are the instrument. Today, you can do that for yourself. Have a wonderful day. Life is certainly filled with exciting, wonderful things, isn't it? I love you. I love you. I love you.